All right. Well, good evening. Good to see y'all here this evening. Happy late New Year again, and welcome anybody that's online with us. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing "You Are My All in All." You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Let's just praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. There's a call come ringing o'er the restless waves in the lights, in the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call to sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Good to see each and every one of you tonight. We got some folks online with us back there. All right. Good to folks online. Good to have you with us tonight. It's always a great honor to have you join us via internet. We always would love to have you come face to face, but man, hey, man, we get it. We understand. Sometimes you just can't, and so you're online with us. Hallelujah for that. Very good. Let's talk about some prayer needs. Whoa, did you see that? It's the jumping pin. That sucker jumped 5 feet. All right. So prayer needs tonight. Okay, online. So he got tested on Sunday? Will be tested. Okay, so he's... So he's got COVID. He got a sore throat. Okay. Sharon, pray for Chuck. Okay. Pray for Chuck. Negative on the COVID. I sing praises to your name. Amen. All right. We'll pray for that. Anything else online? All right. Brother Ronnie, we'll pray for Miss Alita. Her back. Outstanding. Amen. We'll lift that up. And then Robert Holder, Loopy's husband. He's on his second round of COVID, so we'll pray for him. She said it's a light case this time and that he's on the mend, but we want to pray he continue to heal up. Robert Holder. COVID. What else? What else? Jeanette. All right. Amen. What else? What else? Yes, sir, in the back. Yes, sir. Uh-oh. Oh, my. Okay. What's his name?
John.
Okay. Heart. Abnormal EKG. All right. Normal. Very good. Okay. Yes, sir. Second one. Yes, sir. Right. Right. All right. Well, brother, Jeremiah, you get another raise. You're taking me to lunch, man. All right. Okay, so possible job promotion for both of you. All right, all right. Vince. Very good. Jeremiah. Very good. All right, what else? Anything else? All right, any praises out there? Praises. Okay. Who is this now?
Rachel.
Rachel's mom. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Oh, amen, man. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Boy, amen. Very good. We do want to continue to pray. Oh, y'all help me out here, boy. It's been a long day. Come to me in a minute. Any more prayer needs or praises? Yes, Peggy Murray. That's it. We'll pray for Miss Peggy Murray and the loss of Brother Marshall. Amen. Thank you, brother. All right. What else? Anything else? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Harold? Yes. Okay. Insurance company. Place for rehab. Amen. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? All right, let's do it. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, and Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you most of all for our salvation, Lord. We thank you for your word. Father God, we thank you for loving us and for dying on the cross for our sins. And Lord, all that that means, and Lord, the fact that we've received the gospel and that we know where we're headed. And Lord, we have a church family and a church home. And Lord, we have people that love us and care for us and pray for us. And Lord, we just praise you for all the many blessings. We're thankful for Betty's homegoing service, Lord, and we just pray for Rachel and her extended family as they go through that time of grieving and loss. And Lord, we pray a special prayer for Miss Peggy tonight. Lord, as family, friends go home and she's there by herself, Lord, we just pray that you would comfort her and help her. And Lord, we pray that ladies of the church would reach out to her and make contact with her and just kind of keep up with her here the next 30 days or so. So, Lord, we just lift Peggy up to you. We're thankful for Brother Marshall's life, and we praise you for that. But we lift up Miss Peggy to you tonight. We pray for Harold in the hospital, Lord, and we pray that you would strengthen him and, Lord, help him with his blood pressure and get that blood pressure up. And Father God, we pray that the insurance company, as Marjorie deals with him and trying to get him some rehab and the appropriate, proper care, Lord, we pray that that would all work out. You would be in the midst of those details, and Lord, you would just sovereignly provide for Harold and his rehab through this insurance company. We lift up Jeremiah and Vince to you tonight, Lord, and we pray for both of these guys as they have put in for advancements in their jobs and promotions. We just pray your perfect will for that, Lord. Open the door if it's to be opened, and Lord, if it's not to be opened, we pray you'd give them wisdom and direction on which other door to perhaps open, Lord. So, Father God, we lift them up to you. Pray that you give them that wisdom and discernment to know which way to go and how to accept if they are to accept these promotions. But, God, we're thankful for them, and, Lord, thankful that they want to climb that ladder, so to speak. We lift them up and just pray you help them. We pray for Vince's brother, Lord. We lift him up to you tonight. We pray for John and this abnormal EKG that he's received. We pray that he might get the answers that he needs from this cardiologist. And, Lord, we pray that you might be in the midst of that diagnosis time. And, Lord, we pray there not be anything serious wrong with John's heart. But, Lord, if there is, we pray that they have caught it in time, Lord, and they can help him and get him back on that path. And then, Lord, for James's mother, Jeanette, we lift her up to you, and we just pray for her spirit. Pray, Lord, that you would lift her attitude and just help her as she goes through some lonely times and some times there by herself there at the house. We lift up Robert to you, Robert Holder. We pray for this COVID that he's getting over. We pray that he not have any setbacks and that, Lord, he would just continue to go forward in his health and get better. We're thankful that Jeff McCormick is getting over his COVID and not any kind of serious case there for him. We pray for Miss Alita tonight. We pray that you might touch her back, continue to bring healing. The back is healing slowly now, Lord, and we just pray that you just continue each and every day, God, each and every week, each and every month, to just get better and better and stronger and stronger. And, Lord, you just see her through that surgery and, Lord, the recovery of it, and that, Lord, you would open a door or two for her as she seeks employment, and that, God, you would just lead, guide, and direct her where she is to go to work next with a job. And then, Lord, we lift up old Chuck to you. We pray that he not have the COVID. And, Lord, we pray he get over this sore throat and that he get on down the road with his healing, Lord. We lift all these things up to you tonight. We thank you for hearing us tonight, Lord. We thank you for being a God that answers prayer. And, Lord, we just praise you for your goodness and your grace to us. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 16. I'm going to invite you to stand here. And what I'm working to, we're going through these bowl judgments. And I know that's heavy-duty stuff on a Wednesday night when it's been a long, long day. But what I'm working to is trying to get you back to the garden. okay? Back to the Garden of Eden, right? Preacher, how in the world are you going to get us to the garden in Revelation? If you hang in there long enough with me, we're going to get there. Amen? Revelation chapter 16. Thank you for standing. Those of you online, Revelation 16, we'll begin reading here in verse 12. Sunday night, we started reading the second half of this chapter, and we're going to continue on with that this evening. 16, beginning in verse 12, it says, "The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs." Remember, the dragon is the devil. The mouth of the beast, that's the Antichrist. And the mouth of the false prophet is, of course, the false prophet. We're talking about the unholy Trinity. Okay? "For they are spirits," verse 14, "they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God, the Almighty." And then we came to verse 15, which is what? Another parenthetical statement. See it in your Bible? Mine's got parentheses around it. "Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame." He's writing that to these Jews that are assembled there at Jerusalem to hold the armies of the world at bay. They are outnumbered 100 to 1. Something to one, they are outnumbered. Jesus gives this parenthetical statement of encouragement, verse 16, "and they gathered them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Armageddon." We call it Armageddon, right? Armageddon, Armageddon. Verse 17, "then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, 'It is done.' And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. There was a great earthquake, such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth, so that an earthquake was it, and so mighty. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe." Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Holy and Word of God. And may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, just a quick review. Quick. Amen. We'll do it fast, all right, because we've covered this. But we've already covered the plague on the unrepentant and rebellious sinner. That was bowl number one. We've already covered the plague in the sea. That was verse number three. That's bowl number two. Bowl number three is the plague in the rivers and streams, verses 4-7. Plague number four, fourth bowl, the plague in the sun, verses 8-9. The beast is plagued, bowl number five, verses 10-11. Remember, we've talked again and again about the cumulative effect. These things are happening what? They're coming one right after the other. Then we dealt with the battle as planned. That is bowl number 6, verses 12-16. We ended last time talking about that parenthetical statement, though, in verse 15 that I mentioned as we were reading through the passage. Amid all the horrors of judgment, amid all the deception by these, what did it say? "For they are spirits of demons performing signs." Amidst all the deception and war about to happen comes a parenthetical word of encouragement to believers in verse 15. We said last time on Sunday night, this gracious word from heaven will come before the pouring out of the seventh bowl, and it assures the believers that have gotten saved during the tribulation, that are taking up arms to fend off this millions and millions strong army, it is to give them encouragement for that day to stand in the gap with Jesus. Now, this gracious word from heaven will come before the seventh bowl, and it assures the believers that they will not be what? Forgotten. Not going to be forgotten. Is God going to forget me? Remember Sunday night we said he does not forget you, right? Family might forget you. Friends might forget you. On and it goes. But God will not forget you. Amen? The word of comfort from the Lord Jesus Christ begins with, we talked about this Sunday night, "Behold, I'm coming like a thief." Like a thief comes, Jesus will come quickly and unexpectedly. But unlike a thief, we said, he will not come to steal, but he will come to take what is rightfully his. Jesus' sudden, unexpected return will bring fear and dismay to his enemies, but hope and comfort to his people. Because when he comes the second time, when his feet finally touch, he's not coming as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. He's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? There's going to be some drama to his entrance, I am sure. There's going to be a holy glow about him. It's going to be incredible, right? It's going to be amazing, right? In the form, and we said this Sunday night, in the form of the third of seven Beatitudes or blessings in the book of Revelation, we have this verse 15. There are seven Beatitudes or seven blessings. Verse 15, "Behold, I'm coming like a thief." Blessed, that's your blessing or beatitude. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeps his clothes so that he will not walk naked, about naked, and then will not see his shame. Right? With me so far? This blessing, we said Sunday night, verse 15, describes those who, like the five prudent virgins of Matthew 25, 1 through 13, will be prepared for his arrival. The imagery here in verse 15 is not that of bridesmaids preparing for a wedding, but of soldiers alert and on duty. Only a soldier who stays awake, only a soldier who keeps his clothes on is ready for the combat. And so we're not going to miss this. We've already been raptured out. We're living on this side of eternity. If we don't get raptured, we're going to physically die one day. That's going to be our lot. We're going to take a turn in that. But while we are here and still in the fight, we are to be what? We are to be a soldier. We are to be ready. We are to be a part of the army of God. And we pray on. We pray on our armor, as we shared and talked about, out of Ephesians verse 6. You ought to pray it on every day. Breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, right? My feet shod with the truth of the gospel, the sword of the Spirit. I mean, man, we ought to get with it and pray that on and get ready each and every day for the battle. Now, after the brief interlude of encouragement for the redeemed, the prophetic narrative returns to the events of the sixth bowl. That's the balance of verses 16 and on down, right? It gets back to where it needs to get back to. The deceiving demon spirits will have gathered the nations together to the place which in Hebrew is called Armageddon. Now, Armageddon is a Hebrew word meaning Mount Megiddo. Mount Megiddo. Everybody say that? Mount Megiddo. M-E-G-I-D-D-O. Mount Megiddo. Now, since there is at least not right now, there may be after all these cataclysmic and catastrophic events take place, but right now, there is no specific mountain by that name. There is no Mount Megiddo. But Har, that prefix, can refer to hill country. So we're probably talking about a reference to the hill country surrounding, there's not a mountain, but there is a plain of Megiddo. It's some 60 miles north of Jerusalem. Still with me so far? Sure? Okay. More than 200 battles in history have already been battled and fought and won and lost in that region already. If you go back in human history, if you look at biblical history, Barak's defeat of the Canaanites happens at the plain of Megiddo, Judges chapter 4 and 5. Josiah's defeat at the hands of Pharaoh Necho, talked about in 2 Chronicles 35:22, happens at the plain of Megiddo. We also, you'll remember this one, Gideon's victory over the Midianites, Judges chapter 7. Now, in Judges chapter 6, verse 33, this plain of Megiddo is referred to the Valley of Jezreel, which is another name for the plain of Esdraelon. So you got the plain of Megiddo that goes a ways and turns into the plain of Esdraelon. What are you telling me? I'm telling you, we got to have a lot of square miles. We got to have a lot of square acreage. We got to have a lot of space for all of the armies of the world to gather against the people of Israel. That's what I'm telling you. It's going to be massive. From the plain of Megiddo to the plain of Esdraelon. The plain of Megiddo and the nearby plain of Esdraelon will be the focal point for the battle of Armageddon, which will rage the entire length of Israel as far south as the Edomite city of Bozrah per Isaiah 63:1. Now, the Word of God tells us that other battles will also occur in the vicinity of Jerusalem per Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, as things kind of get heated up. You know, when countries get ready to duke it out, one will send their special forces in to probe weaknesses, the other will send their special forces in to probe weaknesses, and you have skirmishes and fights and you have death and mayhem before the whole thing really breaks out, right? Before everything kind of really gets going. That will be going on per Zechariah 14, 1 through 3. As we've already mentioned, the battle is going to last how long, folks? Not very long at all. Not very long. The battle will be over almost as soon as the battle begins. As the Lord Jesus Christ returns to rescue His people and defeat His enemies. The resulting slaughter of the world's armies will be almost unimaginable with the blood. Tiffany, this ought to make your night. With the blood of splattered individuals' blood several feet high and perhaps running in the streams. Do you like blood and gut movies? No, I don't either. So, with the blood several feet high, perhaps running in streams throughout a distance of 200 miles, as we discussed when we covered Revelation 14, verse 20. So, the sixth bowl, it sets the final stage, but before the brief battle, the seventh and final plague will hit. And so, the seventh bowl, the seventh plague, we're going to call that Babylon is plundered. That is the balance of 17 through 21. The seventh bowl is the final outpouring of God's wrath on sinners in this present earth. After the consequences of the final outpouring, Jesus will come and set up His millennial kingdom, which we'll read about as we continue on in the book of Revelation. At the end of that thousand-year period, there will be one final act of rebellion, which will be quickly crushed per Revelation 20, verses 7 through 10. But that judgment will not take place in the world as we know it. For the earth will be changed dramatically before the kingdom arrives. The seventh bowl, the seventh plague, the seventh angel pouring it out is last. Why? Because of Revelation 15:1 says, "Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished." So the seventh bowl will be the worst calamity in the world's history. The most complete, the most devastation, the most catastrophe the earth will ever experience. The effects of the seventh bowl carry all the way to the establishment of the earthly kingdom of Christ. Now notice a few things about the seventh bowl, right? Now, I'm already craving cereal, but hang on. Amen? That's going to be dinner for me tonight, bowl of cereal. But hang on. The first effects were on the earth's atmosphere. The earth's atmosphere. Like the fourth angel, the seventh angel did not dump his bowl, did not pour out the contents of his bowl on the earth, but the Word of God tells us he poured it out upon the air. He poured it out on the air. The first effects were on the earth's atmosphere as if God were cleansing the former domain of Satan and his demon hosts. Let me remind you of what Paul's epistle to the church at Ephesus says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You'll know this verse when you hear it. The Word of God reads, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." The air is going to be cleansed, right? Going to be cleansed. If there are any tree huggers left at this time, they will rejoice because the air is going to get cleansed, man. I mean, the air is going to really get clean. Did you come, those of you who came into church, could you smell the burning trash smell? No? Already gone? Man, earlier today, somebody was burning the trash, right? All that's going to get a cleansed, right? It's going to get out. The prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Now, remember the cumulative effect. We've been talking about how these things happen. How quick? Rapid fire. Super, 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 one right after the other. Not a whole lot of space, not a whole lot of time in between. Remember the cumulative effect of these judgments. We've seen the earth come under judgment. We've seen the sea. We've seen the fresh waters. We've seen the sun. And finally, the air, the literal air surrounding the earth, are the targets of judgment. As the angel dumped his bowl, the Word of God tells us that a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne. Who is the voice? Who's behind the voice? The voice is that of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. His solemn declaration, "It is done," announces the crescendo of the final day of the Lord that will spread doom over the entire globe. Now, we're going back to the garden. Hang on. We're going back to the garden. The perfect tense verb that we get the phrase, "It is done." The perfect tense verb in the Greek describes a completed action with ongoing results. The verb that is used here, "It is done," from God speaking from the throne room, that verb is the same usage. It's the same verb. It's similar in case and tense to Jesus' final words from the cross when he says, "It is finished," in John 19:30. The comparison and contrast I draw is this. God's judgment of Christ on Calvary, God's judgment of Christ on Calvary provided salvation for repentant sinners. But the judgment of the seventh bowl brings doom to unrepentant sinners. So the pouring out of the seventh bowl dramatically affected the atmosphere. There were flashes of lightning, and there were sounds, and there were peals of thunder. And if you would go back and look at the other calamities, the other seals, and you go back and look at the trumpets, you will find that the seventh seal of Revelation chapter 8, verse 5, and the seventh trumpet of Revelation chapter 11, verse 19, just like the seventh bowl is introduced, they're all three introduced with the imagery of a violent storm. A violent storm. But those earlier storms were mere previews. They were more kind of like not quite it. They were less than the mighty storm of wrath that now bursts upon the earth. Though the seventh bowl was dumped on the earth's atmosphere, this bowl will also have a devastating effect on the earth itself. God will punctuate this final judgment against sinners with an earthquake, just as he did his judgment of sin at Calvary. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, take your Bibles and turn with me quickly, quickly, quickly to Matthew. Matthew, Matthew, Matthew 27. Preacher, we haven't preached through that. I'm trying not to steal all my thunder, all right? Matthew 27, 27:27, verses 51 through 54. Matthew 27:51 through 54. Folks with us online, Matthew 27:51 through 54. I hope you're there with us. Matthew 27:51 through 54. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn. Verse 51. It was torn in twain, or torn in two, from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him, keeping guards over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." This earthquake happening here in the book of Revelation, flip back with me to 16. This earthquake will be the most powerful one ever to strike the earth. John described it as a great earthquake such as there had not been seen, since there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. Now, while there have always been and will continue to be local earthquakes, this great earthquake will be unique in that God will shake the globe as he's already prophesied in his Old Testament. The shaking will be so severe that it will renovate and reconfigure the earth to the very point it was to its pre-flood condition. Going back to the garden, friend. Yeah. Now, what did the earth look like? Well, have you ever looked at a globe? Doesn't it look like the continents went together at one time? Yeah. They could take samples off the coast of Africa and samples off the coast of South America, and it's the same dirt. Why? Because it used to be one, right? They called it Pangaea, right? One landmass. That's what's coming back, baby. That earthquake is so big and so bad and so mean and so rough, and it literally shakes the globe because the continent's not in billions of years, and the continent's not in millions of years, and the continent's not in hundreds of thousands of years, and the continent's not in tens of thousands or thousands. The continents are coming back together. Millennial rain time. Amen. Now, that's not quite to the garden, but it's close. Amen? We end with that. Let's bow with a word of prayer, shall we? Dear Jesus, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for where the earth is heading, even in the midst of all the sin and the disobedience and rebellion, God. We know that you have a sovereign plan, you have a sovereign way, and that you're coming back. And Lord, as we said Sunday night, we need to be prepared, we need to be ready. Those that we love, those that we care for need to be prepared, they need to be ready. And what we mean, Lord, is they need to have experienced the gospel. They need to have obeyed the gospel. They need to have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So, Father God, may this be one more arrow in our quiver to spurn us on, to motivate us on, to lead us on as we think about those around us that are lost without any hope of salvation. May we sow the good news of Christ in them. May we do it lovingly. May we do it with great grace and mercy. But may we do it so that they will miss all of the judgment and experience all of the grace that is contained in your wonderful salvation. Thank you for what you provided for us on the cross by your shed blood. Thank you for how your blood covers the penalty, takes care of the penalty of our sin, so that we might be one, saved, whole, healed with you. We praise you and thank you for that tonight. Thank you for your word, Lord. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, you folks are dismissed tonight. Have a great, safe ride home. Don't speed.